Let me check this out with you guys before I get started. When someone is asking a question here in this group room, can you hear it?
Not always, Jerry. Not
Not
always.
always. Okay. All
Yeah, it's usually very faint.
right, I'm not sure whether there's another way of being able to change that. I'll check into it, okay? Or what I'll do is I'll repeat the question. That'd probably be the most helpful thing right now if we don't have another solution, I'll repeat the question. Okay?
Hi, John. Welcome back.
Hey, John.
We missed you last week. 1 minute, John's coming. Hi, John.
That's well. Good
Don
morning.
and John. Greetings, guys. Welcome. Okay, we're about ready to get started. So we can begin by becoming aware of our connection with one another, our commitment to growth, to becoming, the willingness and the openness to create a sacred space. And an openness to the possibility that all of this material doesn't remain in our heads, but also opens our hearts and our souls. Okay. Got an email the other day that Paul has completed his 13th book. And so you don't have to go rushing out to buy it to make sure it's got some hidden secrets in it. What I've discovered is that it doesn't make a whole lot of difference about what book you're reading at this moment. And the guide's message to each one of us comes through our own openness and our own willingness. And it might be different for each one of us. So it's not about finishing all the books. It's not about being in the right spot at the right time. It's about being here now and being open to that aspect of the journey, however you're supposed to learn it, however I'm supposed to learn it. I'm going to begin on page 302, where we ended last week. And I thought this paragraph towards the middle of the page, upper middle of the page, was just incredibly beautiful. I'll repeat it. When you have decided once and for all that anything else is an illusion, when you have claimed yourself so fully in this incarnation that the knowing of who you are is simply what you know and not some struggle you engage in with daily to decide again and again, you will reclaim the self as you have always been in higher knowing. So put the hammer down. When you are open to it, it will reveal itself to you. And you might be able to say very easily, very quickly, you already are in higher consciousness. You don't have to repeat anything about it. I remember talking to a teacher friend of mine, and she got a little bit exasperated with me. Said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I want to be enlightened." She said, "What makes you think you're not? What makes you think you're not?" And all of a sudden, I didn't have an answer to that. Because it wasn't a question my ego could respond to. What makes you think? I want to be in touch with my divine consciousness. Okay, what makes you think you're not? Stop me in my tracks. Still does. What makes you think you're not? It's not up here. Well, I better get the 13th book and read that, and then I'll become enlightened. Sorry. Let me just read that one more time. When you have decided once and for all that anything else is illusion, when you have claimed yourself so fully in this incarnation that the knowing of who you are is simply what you know and not some struggle you engage in with daily to decide again and again and again, you will reclaim the self as you have always been in higher knowing. And you're already there. Your ego might object, your personality might object, but you're already there. Now, this is not a mandate for you. In other words, we're not creating a rule you're supposed to follow. You have come into form to know who you are, to have your experience here. We do not deny your humanity. It is what makes you so amazing to us. But we also adore you in your divinity and the reclamation of the true self as you are expressed by yourselves has been the class of recreation of self. There is so much more to teach you if you are open to it. So many of you get stuck, you see, when you cause yourself fear, when you demand to know yourselves through what you have been. Oh, I wish it was like it was before. What you have been means so little in the face of who you are. What you have known yourself as has gotten you here, perhaps. But like yesterday's dress that no longer fits very well, to try to perceive the self through one's old self keeps you in an old way that has no real bearing on who and what you are. So let's suppose you're looking in a mirror. Are you that reflection in the mirror? Are you the person who's looking in the mirror? Who is it that's looking in the mirror? Am I looking with a sense of what I looked like yesterday, or the day before? Or am I looking in the mirror with the perception or the openness that this is a revelation of my physical being, but that's not who I am either? Can I know that? Can I be aware of that? Can I be open to that? And I'm asking that question to myself as well. As we continue with you in the weeks and months to come, we are going to show you how you can claim the world in this healing. Not about getting something back so much, it's about healing. Something we all yearn for. I want to be whole. I want to be healed. See me, feel me, touch me, heal me. That's why those words are so powerful. See me, touch me, feel me, heal me, love me. As we continue with you in the weeks and months to come, we're going to show you how you can claim the world in this healing. So we even claim the world in its woundedness, or my perception of its woundedness, and I become a conduit, an open channel, or divine grace to work on the process of healing. Not the way I think it ought to be, not the way I think it should be, but the way that it already is in divine mind. In divine mind, you're already whole, you're already healed. If I'm looking at that in that direction. In divine mind, I am already whole, I'm already healed. But I'm not usually in divine mind. So I'm looking at the world as being, as needing healing. And that's okay. But recognizing that when I look at the world in need of healing, I am looking at the world through my limited consciousness. And as it said, looking back at the past to try and create the present doesn't work. The way A Course in Miracles put it was, if you bring the past into the present, you create a present just like your past. You bring the past into the present, you create a present just like your past, a future just like your past. I'm guilty of doing that as well. Sometimes it's hard to know we're doing that already. Be aware. Be aware. This healing of the self, the who that you know yourselves as, extends so far beyond you, beyond the personal you, beyond the you who you think you are. You seek your comfort, perhaps, in these teachings. I will feel a little better, perhaps, for having been here. But in fact, what is happening is you are recreating the wholeness of your being to know itself in who you truly are. It's not about just feeling good. Feeling good is an artifact. Feeling happy is an artifact. It might or might not be there. See, a lot of times I think we confuse our spiritual self with our emotional self and think that if I'm feeling good, then God must be smiling on me, which is a nice thought. But if I'm feeling bad, then the alternate has to be true, then God must be frowning on me, which is not true at all. But if I equate my feelings with my spiritual being, that's the way it's going to look. I remember I was talking to a teacher of mine when I was in high school, one of my favorite teachers. I could tell him anything. And I said, being a good Catholic kid, I said, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, sure. So I don't know, we sat in the classroom, I think it was after school was over. And I said, even a couple of years ago, when I would go to confession on Saturday and communion on Sunday and mass and communion on Sunday, I would really feel good. I would feel cleansed. I would feel happy. I would feel at peace. I said, I don't feel that anymore. Am I doing something wrong? And he said, Jerry, when you were a little kid and you went to the doctors, what happened after you finished the examination? I said, well, the doctor or the nurse would usually give me a lollipop. He goes, yeah, you're right. He said, sometimes God takes away the lollipops. In other words, it's not about your feeling. It's about the truth that you already know. It's not, never forgot that. It's not about the lollipops. Having the lollipops is nice. When that happens, it's great. It's wonderful when my good feelings kind of align themselves with my understanding of my divine consciousness. I don't want to throw that out the window. I'm just saying, don't use your feelings, don't use your emotions as a barometer for your spiritual state. Your spiritual being, your connection with divine consciousness is always there, no matter how you might be able to feel. No matter what shape your body might be in. No matter how you might be feeling, still there. You seek comfort, perhaps, in these teachings. I will feel a little better, perhaps, for being here. But in fact, what is happening, what is really happening inside, is you are recreating the wholeness of your being to know itself in who you are. The life that you live then will be expressed thus, and the expression will impact all you meet, all you may ever meet, all you may never meet, because who you are extends far beyond the form you know yourselves through that you cannot yet imagine. You have no idea. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love. You don't have a clue of what it really means to be part of that divine consciousness. You get a hint of it every once in a while. I get a hint of it every once in a while. I go, oh, that's what's like. And then it's like smoke. Okay, you try to grab hold of it, it's not there anymore. That's okay. Just remember that that's sort of the divine consciousness sort of breaking through the limited consciousness, and saying, here's who you really are. You get a little glimpse of it, little tiny glimpse, and then you're back in the world, back in the material world again. That's just a hint. Every once in a while, we get this jolt of peacefulness or joy out of the blue. We didn't do anything to get it. And that's a hint or a little bit of an inkling of what it is like to live in that state of consciousness all the time. And what we're being asked to do is being open to that possibility. Is it possible that I can be there with? Possible for me to experience that all the time. Again, that was a big part of the message of Jesus, especially after the resurrection.
Jerry.
Yeah, John. And even though you're using a microphone, you need to talk a little bit louder so the people at home can hear you.
How relates this to divine order? Well, different glimpses of divine order is perfect. Often it's not perfect. Everything makes sense in the divine order. Chaos comes in. I don't see that. It makes me angry when people talk about it harder than I don't experience.
You're trying harder to get something.
Well, I'm seeing divine order. I have that glimpse of perfect order. Then I lose that. I don't have that good feeling. And then when people come up and say, oh, it's all in divine order, it just makes me angry. I don't see that.
Okay. The question had to do with things being in divine order, and the reflection is, I don't see that.
Disappears.
Sometimes those little catchphrases, "is in divine order," are more like fortune cookie platitudes than the real truth. Everything is in divine order, and we can know that on a higher on the level of divinity that we are. But I don't see that because I'm living mostly in the in my material self, my ego and personality consciousness. And my ego and my personality consciousness can't know what divine order is. It's impossible. It can't fit. Just doesn't do it. Can't go that far. The only way my ego and my personality can get a sense of divine order is in this state of surrender, of letting go completely as much as it possibly can. So when we say everything's in divine order, to my that'd be, like somebody who's sick. Well, everything's in divine order. Well, does that mean God wants me to be sick? Or we say, we look over at, we were just talking about this before class got started. We look over at Israel and Palestine. Everything's in divine order. Suppose you tell that to the people in Gaza. They can say, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot. My house is gone, my family's gone. I don't have any food. I don't have any water. I don't even have a place to go to the bathroom. Oh, it's all in divine order. Oh, really? Now, here's my challenge is to know that that's true, that it, whatever it is, the world, it's the world situation, is in divine order, and I can't see it. Lord, that I may see. Jesus asked the blind man, what do you want? Lord, that I may see. May I see this? May I know this? May I come in truth with the reality that things are in divine order, even if I can't see it. Now
Jerry.
that doesn't mean I turn on my Pollyanna tape and just say everything's fine, everything's wonderful. No, obviously, in order for me to see divine order, there is work that needs to be done on myself as well as the world I live in. So I think we can get in trouble with stuff like that, sayings like that, that are true on a higher plane of knowing. But that's not where we live most of the time. So I think you're very right in saying, you know, if someone come along and say divine order, so well, that's very nice. But I'm hungry. What do I have for lunch? I don't have any money. I don't have a place to live. And you're telling me that's in divine. Again, on some plane it might be, but I'm not. That's not where I'm living most of the time. Now our goal is. My goal is not to know things are in divine order necessarily. My goal is to live in a higher plane of consciousness where I don't see war, hatred, conflict. Where it does not exist in higher consciousness. Now that's really, really difficult for me to understand. It's extremely difficult for me to try to explain that to somebody in Gaza or Palestine. It's like, Abraham Maslow, the psychologist, created something called the hierarchy of needs. And what that says essentially is that your higher needs cannot be met until your lower needs are taken care of. Salvation Army learned that very early. You don't preach to somebody until you give them dinner first. So here I am thirsty. Here I am hungry. I got to take care of my thirst first. Do that. And I take care of thirst, hunger, comfort, survival needs. Then maybe as I'm taking care of those and I'm building, then I let's say I'm living in the United States, I'm living in America. All of a sudden, a whole bunch of other needs are met for me. And then once I get to the higher planes of knowing, like we can be very, very comfortable here. I've got a place to live. I've got food to eat. I've got a good family, I've got a decent job, I got a pension coming through, whatever it might happen to be, then it is okay or possible for me to start working on the spiritual side of things. Open that up a little bit more. Open that up a little bit more. But I think if we're dealing with people or life situations that are way down on the spectrum, then don't expect them to live way up here in higher consciousness. It's just not going to happen. I can't do that. If I am physically ill, I'm going to have a really, really difficult time praying and meditating. It's not because my body is bad. It's just because I need to take care of the illness of where my body is out of sync with the rest of reality. I've got to take care of that first before I can take care of my higher needs. That's true for all of us. So the reason why I might not be seeing things as being in divine order is because maybe there's some stuff in my life that I need to take care of. Maybe there's forgiveness I need to do. Maybe there's some healing of my soul and my heart I need to do. Maybe it's the realization of if I see it out there, it's happening in here, and I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe there's violence inside of me. I don't want to believe this kind of anger inside of me. I don't want to believe there's kind of mean and nasty and ugly things inside. Well, as long as I believe that, there's no way of getting to higher consciousness. My shadow keeps pulling me down and pulling me back. So I need to take care of that piece, or those pieces, in order for me to be able to reach higher realms of consciousness. That makes sense? A good question. Sorry, I didn't go and get preachy there. It obviously is a subject I've thought about quite often. Still do. Today we will gift you with this. The awakening is, yes? Oh, Jim?
Yeah. I may have to push back on that in terms of what you said. And here's the reason being, you know, when I'm meeting with my clients, and they're going through this or that, the other thing, you know, lack, abundance, healing, they're not well. Of course, I'm going to listen to their story. I'm not trying to do a spiritual bypass. I'm not being dismissive.
You get your problems.
But my charge as a practitioner is to stay in higher consciousness and to know the truth, capital T, for them. Abundance, healing, enough to know that wholeness, to know that. Because I don't really need to, I'm almost will stop them with respect to the narrative, because that narrative, and again, I acknowledge what they're saying. I acknowledge what they're at are. But I also know the truth. And it's interesting, man, because, you know, as you were speaking, and I hear what you're saying, man, but it just reminds me of someone. Well, and here's the metaphor I use. Well, you know, I can't go to the gym and work out until I get in shape. So once I get in shape, then I'm going to work out. And so, you know, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, that's all I want to add to that.
No, that's a good point, Jim. Thank you for that. I think John was going to say something about
yes.
that.
Yes, yes, Jerry. So I'm during my time of being unemployed, I have been certified in two different areas of my profession. I'm working on the third one, and all of them are very much in alignment in how to think about business. And I think that it applies here too. And the alignment starts with going, what are the goals you're trying to achieve as an organization, as a department, as a manager, as an individual? But you start at the top, and you get the big picture first, and then you can begin to make steps once you understand that you're in alignment. But it takes time, and it takes a focused effort to put that stuff together. I'm having a blast doing this in practice sessions with other people in business. What I love is these people have been in business for a bunch of years, and so have I. And when we start at the top, and I say, what are you trying to accomplish? How will you measure that? What is those kinds of things? And we start with the big picture. Man, we make progress, and they're rocking and rolling by the time we're through. But if we start with, boy, I'm having this relationship problem with my boss or with a coworker or something like that, we get nowhere. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Jerry?
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, I want to go back to something, you know, Jim said, and that is, first of all, I don't see how any of us can feel divine order unless there is a conception of reincarnation and karma.
Mm-hmm.
Because without being able to, you know, I'm not saying it makes anything easier in your present state, whatever that is, an illness or whatever. But to believe that I have a knowing that everything that is happening is a result of the consciousness you have achieved and where you have been in your consciousness, the law of cause and effect. So if I'm going to a practitioner, I feel now I'm not going to talk to them because I feel they'll have the answer, but because all is I guess I'm hope maybe they hopefully they will have a consciousness that is able to see beyond the physical issue right now and know the truth of the oneness of us all and that divine order that is in place. And then it has to take over by the person, I guess, I have to know that I am one. I am a soul. Anyway, I don't know how to go on from there, but I don't understand how anything, you know, if we don't accept reincarnation, there seems no divine order in why we're going through what we're going through.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. That's certainly an additional piece.
Let me just add something right quick. So when my wife was making her transition 13 years ago, and this is I had many close friends who are practitioners. What was said to me is that before we would go into ICU, and hold Kim in vigil, we had to get our consciousness right. We did not go into her room, with the tubes and everything come, and on a ventilator. We had to know the highs and the best. We had to be in high consciousness. That vibration had to travel with us into that room, because if we went in there with low consciousness, we'd be no good for your wife. So again, though she made her passing, but before that, we're going to go into this room knowing that, the highest and the best for her, knowing that we're not looking at the tubes, we're not looking at the fact that she's in this hospital bed. They just had to get their mind right. If they couldn't, they would tell me, Jim, we can't do this today. We cannot get through our higher conscious today.
You can't get there from here.
We can get here from there. Well, in fact, that's true. We can get here from there. If we go to the higher level consciousness thinking and work on that, then we come back to here's where I am, here's where I need to go. Jerry, I'm thinking about that guy who lived out in Arizona. I've forgotten his name now. He wrote a bunch of books. It was kind of a ladder of thinking and being. He numbered them. And I forgot Paul or something like that. Anyway, you've mentioned him several times. The book is out in the living room where I go out and get it. But the point was that Jesus was at a level 1,000, and others were down. Love starts at 540. At 600, you don't have to come back anymore. But he was talking about the where everyone was in the scale of consciousness. And how in America where we average this, and in Nigeria they average this, and in Portugal they average this, whatever. But we're drawn into a group where we can work on moving our level of consciousness to a higher level. And but one of the things that I was remembering here was at each level, say 300 to 400, 400 to 500, 500 to 600. He categorized the way they thought, the way we think. And so that was a eye-opening to me, because it was like, oh, if I start thinking this way, I can kind of pull myself up into that level of consciousness. But that means I need to let go of resentments. I need to let go of fear. I need to let go, because all of those are lower levels of consciousness. And so, do you remember that guy's name? No, apparently not. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that, John.
So, do you remember that guy's name?
It was David Hawkins.
David Hawkins. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. The other thing I thought I'd, since Jim was talking about his wife dying, was it your wife, Jim? Anyway, I'm thinking about when my mother-in-law died, and she's in the hospital. And she had her eyes closed and had not really been conscious for a day. And all of a sudden, she opened her eyes and looked out, and she got the biggest smile on her face. And we believe that there were people that from her who had died and gone on, she was seeing heaven. She was seeing other people that had died who were there to help shepherd her and take her into the future, into death. And this lasted, oh, I think 40 minutes or so. We have recordings of it. She was trying to lift her head, which she couldn't do, but her face was shining, this big smile on her face. And Then eventually she got tired, she closed her eyes, and she passed about an hour later. It was just to me, that's one thing that I have faith in the next life. So just
Wow.
may have nothing to do with what we're talking about, but
That's
that's what came to mind.
okay.
Thanks.
It's a great story.
Thank you, John.
One in the thank you for all your sharing. And you might notice if you think about it, that everybody was contributing to this concept of higher consciousness, but in different ways. What I was thinking as I was listening to you was, instead of trying to explain all of this, because there's always going to be some other factor that's going to come into play, probably, is to say very simply, divine consciousness will meet you where you are. Divine consciousness will meet you where you are and will reveal itself to you in ways that you can accept or comprehend. That will always happen. Does that make sense? Divine consciousness will meet you where you are. Like we started off with that quote about, you're not going to have to struggle anymore. You don't have to struggle to get there. You don't have to get it. You don't have to struggle to be there with it. You don't even have to say, I am in divine consciousness. Because your ego is going to jump in and say, well, no, you're not. But just very, very simply, divine consciousness will meet, is meeting me where I am in this moment. No need for further explanation. Thank you all. That was good. Good stuff. Let me do one more paragraph and then we might have time for a meditation. But I think he's going to get into some questions and answers later. Yeah. Okay. Today we will gift you with this. The awakening you seek to the I am self, the word, divine consciousness, if you prefer. The action of the creator as the true self, expressed as you, may be known now, but not in struggle, but by alignment. Not in worry, but in faith. And not in degrees, because when you associate yourself in degrees, you decide that you can only be a little bit awake. When you associate yourself in degrees, you decide you can only be a little bit awake. When you awaken in the morning from your sleep, you see the world before you in a new way, if you're open to it. And that is our guarantee for each of you as you continue on your path. See us with you if you like. We are walking up the mountain. That beautiful quote from Ram Dass, we're all walking one another home. We are all walking one another home. Oh, except for him. As I said before, you leave one person out of the picture falls apart. It doesn't work. When you awaken in the morning from your sleep, if you're aware enough, you see the world before you in a new way, and that is our guarantee for each of you as you continue on your path. See us with you if you like. We are walking up the mountain. We beckon you to follow, and we say, yes, yes, yes. There is so much more to know. There is so much more to experience. We thank you each. We will say whether or not this will be in the text when we like to, and we will say this to you. Paul keeps asking, is this going to be in the text? I think they got tired of him asking. We are here, we are here, we are here. Thank you each, and stop now, please. Divine consciousness will meet you where you are and will reveal itself to you as you are able to comprehend or accept. You can't make that happen because it already is happening. Yeah, it's about time to meditate. Thank you for all your input. I was thinking as I was kind of bouncing back and forth, I was a little bit of a ping pong ball this morning between starting at the top or starting at the bottom. You're starting somewhere in between. And here we are, for the most part, living in everyday consciousness. A friend of mine used to call it hamburger stand mentality. Living out of my personality and my ego, and thinking about, not thinking out loud, but thinking that that's who I am. So we take a break in that, and we pick up a book like this, we come into a class on Sunday morning, and we get a different perspective. We get a it might be what we might call a higher point of view. Now the trick is to keep that when we walk out the door. So that's when my prayer comes in that John was referring to is, Lord, that I may see. May I see this person, may I see this situation in higher consciousness. Because as long as I'm looking at it in lower consciousness, there doesn't seem to be a solution. And as long as I am looking at this person in lower consciousness, then all I am seeing is an ego and a personality. And all I am seeing through is my own ego and my own personality. Dr. Seuss says, life is a great balancing act. Because you're never going to say, oh, I got it. As soon as you do, you realize you don't. But I don't have to have it. I don't have to grab it. I can recognize that I have it. If I'm open enough, Lord, that I may see this person as you see him or her. May I see the light in myself. May I see myself the way you see me. There's a kick. May I see myself as you see me. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down.
Jerry, before you do, one sure. Quick note. The Chosen season 4 is now available.
Been waiting
it is,
for
it's terrific. We've only seen 2 or 3. I think they're all available, and we're getting it on Amazon Prime, but it is available and the show continues and it's terrific.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the plug. It's on TV, one of the premium channels, but it's a very interesting take on Jesus and the life of Jesus. Thank you, John. So when your stuff's down, you close your eyes. As your breathing becomes a little bit more steady, let go of your have-tos, musts, shoulds, likes, dislikes. Know that we are entering into a realm of non-duality, where there is no conflict. where there is joy and peace and harmony and prosperity, but they're all one. Those are just different names for the same thing. I am living in a state of awareness of unconditional love. And I am touched by the truth of that. In this space, there is nowhere to go, there is nothing else to do. No work, no effort, simply being. And divine consciousness tells us, I will meet you where you are, and we will grow together. Without force, without pressure. But when you allow yourself to be loved, you automatically grow and heal. And when you automatically grow and heal, the world grows and heals as well. You might not see it, but it is happening. I will meet you as the truth of who you really are, as much as you can take in, as much as you can be aware of in this moment. And breathe. Become aware of your body, your mind, your heart, your soul, and your spiritual being. All blended in this marvelous thing called you. Which is absolutely unique in all the world. A pattern that never was before and never will be again. And when you're ready to, you can stretch, take a deep breath. Open your eyes. Thank you all. Hope you have a wonderful
Thank
week.
you, Jerry.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Jerry.
Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Peace,
Thanks, Jerry.
everybody.
Thank you, Jerry.
Was late.